The 8th meeting of the Asian Bishops Institute for Social Communications, BISCOM 8, is underway this week in Bangkok, Thailand. Participants are exploring the theme Social Media, Surfing, Networking, Blogging, Gaming, Addiction, Challenges and Opportunities for Communication Ministry in Asia. A featured speaker at BISCOM 8, Sister Angela Ann Zukowski, is the director of the Institute for Pastoral Initiatives and the Virtual Learning Community for Faith Formation at the University of Dayton in the U.S. state of Ohio. She is also a former world president of the International Catholic Association for Radio and Television and has served on the Pontifical Council for Social Communications. She told Vatican Radio that the participants are helping the bishops think through the challenges facing them as communicators of the gospel in the 21st century.
Well, I think the advantage to this conference is that the bishops, BISCOM bishops, are coming together and seriously looking at this new digital culture or digital civilization and trying to come to terms with what does that mean for communicating faith in the 21st century? We've been trying to present to the bishops the whole idea that 21st century digital fluency is actually shifting the human consciousness. It's how people think and learn and how they actually are being. And this shifting is of human consciousness is challenging us for how we communicate faith today. It needs to be totally different. And this is influenced by the current neurobiological research that indicates that there are certain areas of the brain that we have used in our traditional way of teaching and learning and proclaiming the good news is sort of going to sleep because other areas that are more interactive a part of the brain are being realized. And if that being the case, we need to find those new ways to communicate faith that speak to this new digital age that has a different kind of consciousness, a different way of thinking. So that impacts our methodologies and also the language that we use to communicate. And that's very exciting. And I don't even think that this is an option because I work with Catholic schools also, and I have been studying with Catholic school teachers all the evolution of this new way of thinking that children are bringing to the classroom. Children are being formed when they're two, three years old in this digital culture, so they're thinking very differently. And when they come to the classroom, we have to utilize those strengths. But what we are talking about here during these days is actually trying to come to terms with what does that mean for how we proclaim the gospel in the 21st century.
For proclaiming the gospel and also for communicating and forming people in the faith, students tend to think in packets of 140 characters, if you will, and they have a very hard time following sustained argument. Now, isn't that something that we have to deal with as well?
Oh, definitely, and there I could add to your list of areas that we need to be concerned about. But the reality is, therefore, we have to capture their religious imagination to hold their attention to go to that deeper level. So we can't use, 19th to 20th century techniques to get them to think at that deeper level when they're in a 21st century mentality. So I do think that we need to find creative ways to stir their religious imagination. So our methodologies have to shift. We may have to, I wouldn't say we have to back up, but what we need to do is to think forward in this regard. Because related to what you're saying is another important point that we have been discussing during these days, which I feel very strongly about. I experienced the same thing with my university students. And that is, how do you develop a contemplative presence, a sense of contemplation, a sense of silence in this radical in this digital age? Because that's another dimension that is being, I can't say 100, not being lost, but definitely it is an issue.
this morning, even coming in on the bus, I had my headphones in, so I was running a podcast through my my smartphone while I was contemporaneously checking the internet on the same device and reading my Kindle. These kids grow up doing this as second nature.
Right.
Now, I lose myself in it. I don't know what direction I'm going. I miss my bus stop. I can't think. You know, I realize that I'm not concentrating very well on any one of the six things I'm doing. Can these kids really concentrate as well as they think they can things?
That's multitasking. And the research coming out is that multitasking, you really do not multitask. What you do is you shut down one area while you do another. So you ignore the other realities. I had a conversation with one of my students just recently because we were talking about this very topic. And he said to me, you know, sister, my generation, we live in a culture of distraction and disorientation. He said, because I was asking the question, why can't we spend more time contemplating? So I was trying to discern what we could do with students to contemplate more. Now, there are many students who do contemplate and a lot of students who do pray. But I was specifically talking about students that spend maximum of 3 to 4 hours on Facebook and iPods and Twittering and all that. And I think that they would even identify that they are they're distracted by many things. I call it the vibration reflex syndrome. And vibration reflex syndrome is that everyone, the students have their cell phone set to buzz anytime they get a tweet or someone goes on their Facebook or et cetera. So they're always living for this. So they can't think beyond to contemplate without any distraction because they're always anticipating something else to come into their life that they need to be paying attention to. So I do think that it's becoming more and more difficult for people to concentrate, for young people to concentrate. We find this at the university when a student has to read a book really in depth that demands focused attention. They just find it difficult to sit in one place, focus on black and white page, when they are used to navigating on an internet, moving through pages and engines all the time.
Well, that's the problem. The diagnosis is there for sure. Are we still at the diagnostic stage? Do we have further to go in that?
I think we have a lot further to go. We have only just begun to discern what the impact is. We already know from neurological research, which I've talked about, the neurobiological research, that how the brains or the links in the brain are connecting differently than they did in the past. We know this. We know this from research. We're trying to come to terms that what is the impact of this, and is it a positive impact, a negative impact, or is it a combination of both? Or are we growing in such a new way with the application of our brains because we're using new areas of that we need to change our way because a new human consciousness is being formed? So, I mean, this is still all new research. It's not a black and white issue like in the past when we would see some new research come forward in teaching and we could easily come up with a theory and a praxis and implement it. That's not what it is today. We still have a lot more depth to go. That's what makes it so exciting today. And that's why we have to continue to pioneer and explore these new methodologies.
Those solutions in the past, those praxis that we've developed, only look easy to us because we have them all worked out and in the books if we still know how to find them. There was painstaking, time-consuming efforts that consumed enormous amounts of time and resources. Have things sped up too much for people even to be able to think them through the way that we need to in order to find the kinds of solutions that you're talking about? Or is that simply a fact of life and an occupational hazard for us that we're going to have to deal with?
I think we're going to have to deal with it. And I think the digital generation or the digital natives, that's not a problem for them because they're going to be able to handle it. Those of us who are those digital immigrants who are coming at this as what they call digital second language, we're going to have the more difficult time doing this. The digital first language group or the digital natives, they're going to navigate through this. They're going to see the clues and the connections much faster than we will. That research is just going to really speed up. That's the reason I surround myself with a lot of young digital natives at the university in education and in research, because they can put their hands on it much quicker than I can. You know, I would like to sit back and give me more time to think about this. Let me compare, contrast, and do this over time. And they go online and they gather that research that's online. They gather all this documentation, and they're on a roll. They're on a roll. So I think this is all new. It's all brand new. It's a whole new way, and that's what we have to come to terms with. And if we think that maybe it's going to change, or maybe if we hold up, it will slow down. It's not going to. It's absolutely not going to. I wish it were, but we are on a move. That's why in one or more of Pope Benedict's documents, he speaks of it as a digital civilization, more than being a culture, a civilization. And I think that's how dramatic it is now. It is a civilization. And I look at my nieces and my nephews and my great nieces and nephews, and you know, they're 1.5 and 2, and they're already playing with an iPad.
I wanted to pick up on something that you were just saying about the digital civilization. It's also a global civilization. So the problems are universal. But right now at the conference, you're getting a very specifically and peculiarly, in the technical etymological sense of the word, Asian address to the problems. The diagnostics, and to the extent that there are the solutions, the concrete solutions that are put forward to the problems at the conference, are things that the rest of the world will be able to profit from, I hope. Can you walk us through what some of those are? What's the specifically Asian context, and how do the rest of us learn from that?
Well, I mean, I can just tell you the direction, because we're The bishops are only now in gathering, sort of trying to synthesize what we have presented and discussed during the past week. And I think basically that what they're coming up with is, I think, about 4 or 5 key ideas. And the first key idea is to really go back again and revisit the importance of designing comprehensive integrated digital pastoral plans for Episcopal Conference dioceses and parishes. And by that we mean that we don't look at the social media milieu or communications as isolated from all the other ministries, and we invite other ministries to come in to work with us, but communications in the digital social media world is woven into all the fabrics of all the planning for all ministries. So that we truly, it's comprehensive, because it has to be woven through the whole ministry of the church. So that's one important point. The second important point is to look at the reality, instead of constantly thinking that we have to teach bishops, we have to teach priests, we have to teach sisters, we have to come up to speed to knowing what all this technology is. It's coming to a more conscious realization that there are experts out there, lay experts who've dedicated their whole life to this, and they work in this digital world, this milieu, and Generation X and Generation Y who live in this world, they understand it. It's the fabric of their life. Let us bring them in more engaging into the church and create a kind of digital ministry that can help support these plans that we have in the diocese, and also can support the priests and all the different ministries that we have. So we're talking about the creation of like digital ambassadors for faith. So we really invite all these people to come into the church. They are in the church, but to come in and share their expertise with the church, and we bring them the wisdom of the church and faith formation and understanding what it means to be a Catholic in the contemporary world, and bring these two expertises, work out of the strengths, bring them together in order to form something new. Another dimension that's looked at is that as we look at this digital culture, that we find ways to utilize all the means of communication, not just to use the communication tools, because they're only tools, but how to understand how faith can be transmitted in very imaginative, using new styles of reimagination in the church, how to reimagine how we communicate faith through these different tools and resources. And that really begins to, you know, spark our imagination of what we're all about. And then how do we begin to influence this culture? So not that we're just reactors to this culture, as sometimes we have in the past in the church, we reacted to what was going on, but we take a stronger prophetic stance that we are able to demonstrate a more alternative perspective, an alternative way of being in this culture that truly reflects our Catholic Christian perspective. And it can, and our Catholic theological anthropology, which needs to be reflected back again because of the digital culture, will contribute to a new way of being human that can be transformational. So the spirit that this group is coming from is one of more looking at our prophetic role that can be more proactive, and it can be transformational to nurture mature Catholics in a digital civilization.